I don't have to be afraid. You guys are family, right?
Yeah.
Also, some of the young people wanted to give you. I know I got. I think I got my eye makeup a little thick and super spotted. But some of them wanted to give you a card. So, Brooklyn, you want to start?
Mike's coming over.
What you got?
I just wrote you
a beautiful poem in there, too. Like a long, lot of writing in there. You want me to read it now or later?
Okay.
go ahead.
We just made the cards for not only Mother's Day, but I made mine because you're not only a mother, a worship leader, but you're a great friend and very special to me.
Oh, sweet.
You have shown me what it is like to truly worship God in the most special way. And you're probably one of the most important people in my life. And I love you.
Thank you so much. That's so sweet. Woo! This is Jacob. What you got? Oh, you made a big poster for me.
Oh, wow.
My mom really made it, but...
He said, my mom really made that.
And you were the best. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Did you make this one?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Don't you love it? Honesty of children. I love it. Thank you all. Man, you guys just don't know. I go home, I take these home, and I read them, and I cry, and I put them away, and I get them out the next day, and I read them, and I cry, and they're beautiful. I have this one here from Abby. Thank you, Abby, wherever she is. And I have this one from Ella Tucker. Awesome. You're like a second mother to me, she says. Oh, that's special. I'm going to mess with this mic. And this one is from Sarah. Thank you for everything you do. And the glue is still wet, so hey. Yeah. Awesome. I love all of those cards. They mean a lot to me. Handmade ones are wonderful. Here we are. You know, I could do this easier if I could just close my eyes and talk. Could you mind if I do that? Good to see you, Foster. When I lead worship, you probably notice I rarely open my eyes, and that's because I'm just singing to Him. It's just me and Him. And so I realized today that I have to talk to you. So I got to keep my eyes open. But those of you that knew my Aunt Shirley and loved her here, told this story, you guys probably heard it, of the church was having a testimony night, testimony service, and this little lady really wanted to testify, and she stood up and she said, "Glory G to Jesus, I'm not staying to stand up for my Jesus, I thank God for the Holy Ghost." That's kind of how I feel right now. But hopefully that won't happen, okay? Hopefully that won't happen. That was Aunt Shirley. She had a lot of sayings like that. But I'm here today to share a great revelation with you. Are you ready? Here it is. Men and women are different. Okay? We're different physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and also the way that we pack for a trip. And so today we're going on a journey, but I happen to think about this as a... First, let me say welcome to all the visitors today. I know Miss Maxine's got some of her kids with her, and probably a lot of other kids here with your mom, and I can't think of anything more special than to be in church today with your mom. That's wonderful. Probably the most precious thing you could do for her. Okay, back to the journey. So we're packing for a trip, and I've noticed that when Eric and I pack, if we're going for... say one or two nights, he's got this little bag this big, and I've got a suitcase, because you got to take Well, it might get cold, so I might need a sweatshirt, but it might be hot, so I might just need a t-shirt, and I might want to wear these shoes, but they're not very comfortable, so I'm going to take these shoes because they're more comfortable, and you know what I mean? Everybody know what I mean? Okay? So we pack for a trip, and we are very different, but excitement builds when you plan a trip. And we're planning a trip this summer with our family, and we're all getting excited about it. My son sent an email yesterday. He goes, I know this is too early, but I'm just too excited. You know, bring this. Don't forget this. You know, excitement builds. And if you're going somewhere you've never been, you know how you get the pamphlets and you read and you see what all there is to do in that area and you want to see what's the number one attraction, what can we do. And so today, our journey, life is a journey. Today I want to talk about practical things, but also hopefully we'll talk about the spiritual things too, because life's not all about spiritual things. In motherhood, there's days when it ain't spiritual, okay? I mean, it's just down in the rut, and it's just, do I have to do this today? But what a blessing and what a privilege. So our destination ultimately is heaven, but we can enjoy the trip here, okay? We can enjoy it here. And today, what I want to talk about is a mother's journey to the heart of God. What is the heart of God? So, you know, on a trip, I thank God for GPS. Because it saved my marriage. We got in so many fights in the past over not knowing where we're going. And I'm trying to read a map, and I don't know how to read a map. And I'm getting equal time today, okay? You know, he won't give me time to read the map. He just starts driving, and then I'm like, the exit was back there. Okay? What? So GPS is a wonderful invention. Saved our marriage, okay? Well, you know what? God gave us a GPS too. Right here. He gave us his word to tell us where to turn, which direction to take, when to stop, when to slow down, when to speed up. This is our GPS. And it can save your marriage too, okay? Much more than in the natural, a GPS. The Word of God can save your marriage. Let's read a scripture before I pray. Deuteronomy. So we're talking about a journey today to the heart of God. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Now listen, this is a journey, okay? Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Can we pray? Oh, Lord God, thank you, Lord, that you instruct us in your word how to live life. And Lord, sometimes when we feel exasperated and don't know which way to go, Lord, you're always there with answers, with help, with a sweet word of encouragement to us, Lord. God, I just thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a mother. Thank you, Lord, that it was your idea. Thank you, Lord, that you are the giver of life. And Lord, there is no life greater than living for you. Lord, I thank you for all these mothers here today and the men alike, everyone here today, Lord. God, let them learn something from your word today they can take home and apply and can just make our lives a journey, Lord, that is pleasing to you. One, Lord, that seeks and follows hard after you, after the heart of God. Lord, your word says that a word spoken at the right time, the right place, are like golden apples in a silver bowl. That's my prayer today, Lord. Let my words, Lord, please you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Motherhood is a journey that's hard on selfish people. Hard on selfish people. You got to be willing to put your heart out there. And sometimes it gets trampled on. But you got to be willing. And it never ends. Motherhood never ends. It changes, but it never ends. Once you're a mother, you're always a mother. My kids don't live at home now, but I'm still a mother. And they're still on my heart and in my mind all the time. And so motherhood may change, but it never ends. It's hard work. It's not for sissies, okay? And it's rewarding and it's close to the heart of God. Now let me pause here and say that I realize today it brings sadness to some people. Maybe your mom's not with you. Maybe you didn't have a mom that was caring and loving and giving. And I just want you to know the Bible says that God will be a father to the fatherless and He will be a mother to the motherless. That's my version. But God has everything you need and more than enough to nurture you and to love you and to take you in. And I just want you to know that I hope that you leave today knowing, above all, you're so loved of God. Also, you might be sitting here and saying, well, I can check out now. I'm a man. Motherhood don't apply to me. I'm going to look at my phone. Maybe you're a teenager and you're like, doesn't apply to me. Maybe your kids are grown, doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does, because I want to talk about journeying to the heart of God today. And you can all learn something from it. You may be a mother someday. Everyone is affected by a mother, because without her, we would none of us be here, okay? So I want you to stay with me. Also, who had a godly grandparent here? Eric's already touched on this. Godly grandparents? Amen. So maybe your kids are grown. Maybe you've got grandkids. You can still have a godly influence in their life. And I hope that you never stop learning or teaching, okay? All right. I want to talk about, first of all, practically some principles that we can teach our children. Because, like I said, even if they're little, if they're teens, one day they may be a mother or a husband. So more things are caught than taught. More things are caught than taught. So they're going to watch you. First of all, I want to talk about serving. Teach your children to serve others. You know, growing up in church, I learned that Jesus, following Jesus' example, would get me to heaven, and there were treasures there. What I didn't know was how richly that God rewards servant behavior here on earth. It's a blessing to serve you all. Teach your kids so they don't miss out on a blessing of serving other people. And that starts at the home, okay? Kids are usually selfish by nature. Do you have the verse up here from 1 Peter 4:10? Each one should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Kids are normally selfish by nature. But servanthood starts in the home. I can remember, how many of you all have done this? I do it too. But I can remember growing up, my mom would fix whatever was your favorite. You were having a meal. Well, I got to make banana pudding because she likes banana pudding. But I got to make apple pie because that's his favorite. And I got to make, you know, pleasing. That's serving, okay? That's serving when your heart is to whatever they like. You want them to like it. That is serving. You know, teach your kids to open the door for someone. Starts in the home. Let them see you serving each other, husband and wife. Teach them. They will miss out on a blessing if you don't teach them to serve. There's a quote by Donald Barnhouse that says, "Love that goes upward is worship. Love that goes outward is affection. Love that stoops is grace." Teach your kids to serve others. The second one is teach your kids to work hard. Proverbs 10:4 says, Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. You know, reputations are started very early in life. Reputations are started early in life. And I remember teaching our kids when they went to kindergarten, you are starting your reputation in school with the teachers, with your classmates. A reputation is beginning here. You know, work is not punishment from God. We think it is because in the garden after the fall, you know, but work is a blessing. Work is a blessing. It's a way to build character. So other than household chores that they have to do, a kid's job is school. That's their job. So teach them to work hard. Work hard in school. Do what your teacher says. That's a reputation you're building. I wanted to talk about being faithful in the small things. A couple of weeks ago, we were eating at Sirloin Stockade in Murray, and we talked to the manager, Adam Carver there, wonderful man, runs a very good business, and he mentors young people. He hires a lot of kids that are high school and college age, and he came out to our table that night and was very frustrated. He was sweating, and he said, I've been in the kitchen washing dishes as the manager. And he was frustrated, and he sat there for about 10 minutes and talked with us about kids today and how they were very far behind. He went in there, and in 10 minutes, he had them all caught up with all the dishes. And he said, I might have been a little hard on them, but they said, attitude, well, I'm never going to be a dishwasher in life. It don't matter how I do this job. And he said, if you can't be faithful in this small task here, how are you ever going to succeed in life? All right? Teach your kids that. It's not about, it doesn't matter. Kids today, this was Adam talking to us, Adam Carver. He said, they don't make their bed. They don't have any chores at home. They don't have anything they have to do. And they come here and they think the same thing happens here at work. No. Teach your kids to be faithful in the small things, okay? Because one day, those characteristics and traits will carry forward. So it's the small things. And teach them to be determined. It's easy for kids to want to quit and give up. Don't let them be a quitter. If they've committed to something, they've got to commit to it and they've got to do it. It's not usually the most talented that rise to the top. To me, it's the ones I notice and observe. It's the ones that have the most grit and the most determination. When things get tough, the kids will want to quit. An example I have for this is piano lessons. I took piano lessons as a kid, and my mom, Buddy, she was a tyrant over practicing 30 minutes a day. Eddie can testify to this. She would actually set a timer for 30 minutes, and you did not get off that piano bench until 30 minutes had gone. And if she didn't hear playing, you know, because you sit there and you swing your legs and you daydream, just getting your 30 minutes over with, Another room, she'd say, I don't hear you. And she would make us practice. And one of my brothers quit piano. He finally convinced him he didn't want to do that. And today he would tell you he's sorry that he did quit and he didn't stay with it. Determination. Kids don't just come with that. You got to teach them how to be determined and how to not be a quitter and not give up. Teach your kids to respect others. Oh my. If there's anything I see we're lacking today is respect in our children. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Again, this will start in the home. Mom, if you disrespect Dad, Dad, if you disrespect Mom, they will see that. They will hear that. I so appreciate my husband, Eric, never would let my boys talk disrespectful to me. He would call them on it. He would stop them and say, that's not happening here. You're not going to talk to your mom that way. So, you know, and it will carry over. Tony, I'm sure you could tell us. It carries over into the law enforcement. Disrespect or respect carries over to their teachers at school. It carries over to their employer one day when they have a job. So teach your kids respect others. Respect or disrespect, both are seeds. They're both seeds. They're going to grow. What do you want? They're going to grow and they're going to affect other areas of their life. It's okay to teach your kids to say no ma'am and no sir and please and thank you. That's still okay today. All right? Teach your children to be grateful. This one's very dear to my heart. Very dear. Just teach your kids to be... 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Develop an attitude of gratitude. Sometimes it's the small things. Teach your kids to be grateful, not just to expect, oh, well, you know, it's your job, Mom, to do all this. Teach your kids to look for things to be grateful for and to say it. I have a letter I want to read. You know, sometimes your dreams get shattered. You know, I'm standing up here talking like life is all easy and rosy, and life is hard. Life is hard. And sometimes things don't work out the way that we want them to or thought they would. You can still be grateful. There's always something to be grateful about. I have a letter here that was written. I had a precious mother-in-law. She's in heaven. She's been there 16 years. Her life was not easy. Not at all. She divorced Eric's father before he was born. So imagine you're expecting a child and he leaves. When Eric was 3, she married a man that she met, and he had been an alcoholic, but he had not drank in 6 months. So he told her, I'm good. You know, I've given that lifestyle up. It probably wasn't 6 months after they were married that he began drinking again. And when he drank, he was drunk for a month. Some of the saddest stories that Eric tells me about, you know, he just going on vacation was not fun for him because Dad was drunk the whole time. We had to sit in the hotel room because Dad was drunk. I just give you a picture there of her life. But you know, she was one of the most grateful women I ever met. Life wasn't easy, but she was a precious woman who had a heart after God. And she, after she passed away, we got this letter in the mail. And it came about a month after she had died from a lady that had moved, but she had known her. And here's what she wrote. I have waited to write this letter because I knew you would have many cards and letters immediately following the death of your beloved mother and grandmother. She wrote it to us and our boys. I want you to read this after the shock wears off. There are many great people among us. John the Baptist was not recognized as a great spiritual leader by the religious community during his life. Even today, we think that a great man or woman of God has to have a large following. Don't we think that? We look for fanfare, miracles, and great oratory. Concerning John, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there was not anyone greater than John the Baptist. Amber, which was his mom, obeyed God. She was an encouragement to me as she worshiped and praised God. When I found out about the difficulties that she had endured during her life, it was hard for me to believe that was the same person. You see, she never mentioned it. I heard about it from others. She was never bitter. And she always had a kind word for everybody and about everybody. I loved being in her presence. I always sought her out at church. I loved to sit with her because she always made me laugh, no matter what was going on at the time. I'm so glad to have known her because I learned how to deal with the hard realities of life the way that Jesus would have, with compassion. I'm sorry for your loss. May God give you His spirit of peace. She was one of the great people among us. And you know, I can still hear her laugh. Thanks, Amber. I'll see you on the other side. Now, like I said, she didn't have an easy life. But people that knew her didn't even realize what she had been through because she did not allow it to make her bitter. She just allowed what she had learned to make her better. So teach your kids to be grateful. Even when life is hard, teach them to be grateful. Teach your kids to be trusted and to be trustworthy. To trust and to be trustworthy. Teach them to trust in the Lord. Psalms 9 and 10. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those that seek you. People are going to fail you, but the Lord never fails. The Lord never fails. No, let your kids experience hard times too and disappointments. I know as parents we want to shelter them and we want to make everything, but sometimes disappointments in life help build some character too. Let them have disappointments and hard times. Teach them to trust in the Lord. You know, we can trust that God's ways are always best. I think about the scripture with Joshua and the walls of Jericho. Put yourself there for a little bit. Imagine God saying, I want you to go out there. I want you to walk around there one time and go home. Okay, God. Whatever. Day two. I want you to go out there. I want you to walk around there one time and go home. It's ridiculous to think about it, right? But God's ways were best. And on the seventh day, it happened just like God had said it would, and the walls fell. Same with Gideon. Think about the story of Gideon. God says, he's like, yeah, God, I'll go fight against the Midianites. And God says, you got too many people. What? You got too many soldiers. Get rid of some of them. Tell everybody that's afraid to go home. 22,000 of them left. Okay? You left with 10,000. Okay, God, we can do this now. God says, you still got too many people. Let's come down here to the spring, to the brook, and we're going to watch them drink. And however, we're going to find out who we're going to keep and who we're not going to keep. And the ones that, you know the story, the ones that lap like a dog, they sent home. The ones that looked around while they drank, they kept, whatever. Anyway, turns out he had 300 men left. And Gideon's like, I'm sure. Think about yourself in this situation. The Midianites, there were thousands of them. And God's going to send me out here with 300. But you know how it ended? He won the battle. Because God's ways are best. We can trust Him. Teach your kids to trust in the Lord. God's ways are best. Think about Jesus. I think about Jesus when He was picking His disciples. And He picked fishermen. All right? And you think, well, God, don't you think you need some well-educated, some people that can really relate to people well? And well, maybe one fisherman, but, you know. But God knew what He was doing. He chose men, everyday, ordinary. And I think He did that for us. So that we know, I don't have to be anything great. All I have to do is say yes to the Lord and follow Him on a journey. It will lead me straight to the heart of God if I just say yes to Him and whatever He has for me. God's ways are best. God's Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are than your thoughts. So let's teach our kids to trust in the Lord, and then teach them to be someone that can be trusted. There's nothing more frustrating than to think you can depend on somebody, and they let you down. And I'm telling you, since we've been pastors here, you can imagine how wonderful it is to have dependable people that you know when you say, you turn over a job to them, you know it's going to be done. You know it's going to be done with excellence, and you know they're not going to let you down. teach your kids to be that way too. Teach them to be whatever, whoever, the Lord says, whoever is trusted with a little. In Luke 16, if you can be trusted with a little, then you can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with little will be dishonest with much. So teach your kids not only to trust in the Lord, but to be trustworthy, be dependable. You know, we spend a lot of time and energy on things that don't really matter for kids. We run them here, we run them there, we buy them this, we buy them that. And a lot of things, you know what matters? Keep them close and live life right next to them. Live life right next to them. Be involved, stay involved. They will learn what it's like, what it feels like to be wanted, loved, and that their opinions matter. You know, your kid's not a statistic. Your child is not a statistic. Their story is being written. You know, Albert Taylor says that kids spend 1% of their time in Sunday school, 7% of their time in public school, and 92% of their time in the home. Think about it. What an awesome, awesome responsibility that we have. On this journey, you know, there's a couple of things in my life that mean the most to me than anything I can think of. And one is kids. My kids, your kids. I love our Bridge of Hope kids. Look at this little daisy I got here. You know who gave me that? London. This morning. Love these cards. Love kids. I love their innocence and their honesty and their faith. When you need somebody to pray for you, you get one of the kids to pray for you because they just believe. They just believe Jesus will do it. I love kids. Being a mom is like the top. There's two things, though. Being a mom and worship. Worship. So when I think about a journey to the heart of God, I'm like, God, I ask myself this a lot. Well, what is your heart? What is the heart of God? And I thought about moms, and then I thought about the heart of God. And, you know, moms, most moms, again, I know there are people in here that didn't have a good mom. But you got the Lord. And I want to compare these two. A mom wants to please her kids. Wants to please her kids. And you know, the Lord says, if you delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. The Lord wants to please you. The Lord wants to give to you. The Lord wants to be there for you, like a mom wants to be there for her kids. You know how we cheer for our kids? And I know Dacia, she's like, rah, 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 when her kids are doing anything. I've always said, I would go watch a mud fight if my kids were in it, okay? I'll go watch anything, any sport, anything, if my kids are participating in it. Well, you know what? The Lord is cheering for us. He says in Romans, nothing will separate you from my love. Not height, nor depth, neither things in present or things in the future. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. So just like you want to cheer for your kids, the Lord is cheering for you, okay? The Lord is cheering for you. You know, when I first held my first son, Matt, this is my 33rd Mother's Day. And every one of them, I just love Mother's Day because I love being a mom. When I first held him, oh, I thought he was just... Now, Eric said he looked like E.T. Okay, but... No, that's mean. He was beautiful to me. My first, you know, love at first sight. You hold your baby. Kimmy and Michael, I'm just so excited for you. And the others that we have in here that are going to be moms soon. Holly and just others. There's nothing like holding your baby, your newborn baby, for the first time. But when I think about the Lord, He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I hope you know how much Jesus loves you today. He loves you more than your mom, good or bad mom, ever has loved you. You know how you have to keep up with the schedule? And I know Carla's the master at this. She's got kids going here and there. Got to pick this one up this time and take this one, drop this one off. And that's, you know, busy life of a mom. And I'm like, well, Lord, you keep up with me. You keep up with my schedule. One of my favorite verses is in Isaiah when he says, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand. He will not forget you, okay? He will not forget you. The Lord will inscribe your name on the palm of his hand. That's how much he wants to keep up with you and your schedule. Discipline. Moms have to discipline. Moms have to put you in time out. Moms have to, should, spank you. The Lord disciplines us. As a parent disciplines out of love, the Lord disciplines those he loves. He rebukes us and he disciplines us. And as a mom, I thought, you know, I can teach my kids to tie their shoes and to ride a bike and to, they get 16, you teach them how to drive, but you will never teach them anything more important than following after the Lord. Teach them to have a heart for God. You know, I had a wonderful mom. I was blessed with a praying mother. She was a good mom, wonderful mom, very selfless and a good cook. And many days I got off the school bus and there were fresh cookies right out of the oven for us. She was just that kind of mom. But when I talk about my mom and I think about my mom, the thing I think about the most is her devotion to God and to prayer. Many days I got off the school bus and Mom was praying. Her favorite place to pray was in the bathroom because it had no window and it was pitch dark. And when you got off the bus and you go in the house and you hear her praying, you didn't bother Mom when she was praying. You didn't knock on the door for any, you know, a little pity. You just left her alone. But sometimes I would stand there by the door in the hallway and just listen to her pray. And she would cry out to God for church people and for us and for neighbors and a woman of prayer. And out of all the things I think about with my mom and my Aunt Shirley were the first two people in their family saved. The rest of their family was not saved. And they had a person in their church would pick them up and take them to church, otherwise they would not have gotten to go. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed diligently for their family, and all their families, all their siblings became Christians, 8 of them, as a result of their prayers. So, you know, the last thing I wanted to talk about on the journey, like, we can teach our kids so many things and have to teach them so many things, but teach them to love God and His presence. You know, and one of the ways they will learn that is if you will make your quiet time with the Lord a priority in your own life. When they see you spending time in prayer, they see you reading the Bible, they see you sharing the love of Jesus with somebody, they see you making a pan of brownies and taking to somebody that's in need. When they see you, they will learn so much more when they see you making it a priority. You know, we were created for fellowship with God. Why else did God put us here? He put us here to fellowship with Him. The Garden of Eden. Take a look at that. Why did He create Adam and Eve and put them in the garden? He put them there to have fellowship with Him. He wants to have fellowship with you, with us. You know, talking about a journey. When Eric and I went to Israel, we were with a group, a tour, And, you know, we didn't get to decide where we wanted to go that day, or I think we'll eat here. No, we went on a bus with a group, and we had to do whatever they wanted. You know, we had to surrender to them. On this journey, surrender to the Lord. Go where He wants you to go. His presence is everywhere. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. And sometimes you get a little scared when you think, oh, God's watching me. God sees everything. That's a good thing. That's a good thing that the Lord sees you. Yeah, we mess up. And yeah, we do things that we maybe don't want the Lord to see. But we can come to Him, and there's always mercy and grace, and He will receive us back when we say, sorry, Lord, I really messed that up. It's a good thing that the Lord is watching us. The two greatest commandments, you know what they are. Love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. And these, there's no greater commandments than these. Teach these, Lord. Teach these to your kids. When you walk, when you lie down, when you're in the city, when you're at home, teach your kids to value God in His presence like none other. There's nothing more important than we can teach our kids than to follow hard after the Lord. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, Lord. Teach your kids the value of a life lived for God. That doesn't mean, that doesn't guarantee that they'll have an easy, trouble-free life. But it guarantees that they'll know who to run to when they do have troubles, that they'll run to the Lord and to the Father. I have to read another story to you in closing. It was kind of hard for me to think how to tie this in, but I knew that I had to share it, and Stephanie knows this. When I was at district council in April, we were at a women's luncheon, and they were giving out prizes, door prizes. Many, many different door prizes. This was the very last one they were going to give out, and it was a cashmere scarf. Should have brought it today. It's beautiful. It's cashmere. It's really pretty. And it's from India. And when she was getting ready to give it out, the Lord said, you're going to win that, and you're going to share that on Mother's Day. Like, okay. Rarely do I hear anything like that from God, but I knew He told me that. And it was the last prize, and they called the number, and it was mine. So I won the scarf. And the story that came with the scarf. And I'm like, Lord, how am I going to tie that into a journey in mothers? And He said, sometimes we have dreams and they're shattered, like I said earlier. Sometimes life doesn't go the way you think it will or should. But don't ever give up. This is a story about Anna Tomasek. About 90 years ago, she was from Akron, Ohio, and she was engaged to be married to a young man. And she found out that this man had absolutely no burden for ministry or desire to serve the Lord. And so she broke off the engagement because she knew that God had a call on her life for missions. So she broke off the engagement and she went to India as a single missionary. India was not an easy place for a young 20-something woman, single woman to go. But she got off the boat in Bombay, and she told the missionaries there who met her, I won't be staying here long because God has called me to Nepal. And they said, you'll never go there. You'll never go to Nepal. They said, it's not open to Christians and certainly not a young single woman. And she said, you don't understand. I'm going to Nepal. God has called me to Nepal. And so she got out the map of the country, the rail map, and she picked a village right on the edge, as close as she could get to Nepal, on the border. And she found her a place there in a little village. And some people have called it the end of the world, this little village. She bought a one-way ticket there. And she went up in the jungles and rented a house. And there's where she stayed. She stayed there for 5 years. And she learned the Hindi language. Just living there on the border to Nepal where God called her to go. She stayed there another 10 years. And she learned another language. Hindi first and then Nepali. She stayed there another 5 years. And she began translating gospel literature into the languages. She couldn't cross over into Nepal. But a lot of the people in the Nepalese villages would come over and buy their fruits and vegetables in the markets in North India. And she would preach to them. Her language was, she kind of had a heavy accent, but somehow they could understand her. She stayed there for 20 years. And when they would come over, she would pass out Sunday school books in the market. 30 years on the border of Nepal, she stayed there. And what eventually happened, in that part of Asia, they didn't have abortion, but a lot of the parents would abandon their children out of sheer poverty. They would abandon their babies when they were born. And they found out that these little Nepalese babies, when they were abandoned, that this strange white woman would take them in. So they were bringing them over the border, and Miss Anna was taking these babies and caring for them and raising them. And 20 years went by, and she lived there. And what eventually happened was, after 30 years of living there, all of the border guards grew up to be men, and they were babies that she had taken care of when they were little. And they told her, "Miss Anna, you don't need a passport. You don't need police escort. You don't need a visa. You come and go." This took 30 years. "You come and go into Nepal as much as you want," because she had raised them. They had been abandoned as babies, and she had raised them. And I just want to tell you that maybe God has given you a dream, something that you want to see accomplished, and you think, "There's no way that's ever going to happen." Don't ever give up. You just stay faithful to the Lord. You just follow hard after Him. You just trust in Him. And you just allow the Lord to... I mean, Miss Anna probably never thought she would... Well, she was very determined. And she said, "I'm going. You're not keeping me out. I'm going." And she lived as close to the border as she could. And the Lord helped her fulfill her dream to where she was able to come in and out of Nepal, even though it wasn't allowed for other people. It was allowed for her. So God confirms the dreams in our lives through other people sometimes. Follow through with the dream in His timing. I just want to tell you today to take back your passion and your purpose. Take it back. Whether it's being a mom, whether it's serving in the church, fulfilling His calling, just take back your passion and your purpose and follow hard after Him. Teach your kids to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to serve others and to love their neighbor as their self. Could we all bow our heads? Thank You, Lord, that You give us dreams in our hearts as mothers, Lord. You give us dreams, Lord, for things that are for our kids and for our families. And Lord, may we never lose sight of the dream, Lord, that You've given us. Even though life may be hard, even though we don't think things are going to ever accomplish the way we want them to, Lord, let us look to You, the author and the finisher of our faith. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. You haven't started on the journey following after the heart of God. Or maybe you've got dreams that have just been... Well, first let's just say, if you don't know Jesus, I just want you to know that He loves you more than any person on earth ever has or ever will. He loves you so much. He gave. God loves you so much, He gave His Son, Jesus. If you don't know Jesus today and you would like to, if you'll slip up your hand, I would love to pray for you and invite you to learn about the love of the Father. Thank you. And maybe you're here today and you just say, you know, I don't feel like a good mom. And I want to do better. I want to follow hard after the Lord. I want to communicate closer with the Father and teach my kids. If that's you today, would you raise your hand? I'll say a prayer for you. Thank you. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank You, Lord, that You have everything. You have given us everything we need, Lord, for life and godliness. Lord, for the one that wants to find You as their Savior today, Lord, I pray, God, that they will realize that You love them, Lord. And Jesus, I just pray, God, that as we all pray this together, Lord, that You'll forgive me, Lord, for my sins. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. And I make You Lord and Savior of my life today as I follow after You. Lord, help me to repent and turn from my wicked way and follow after You, Lord, and You alone. Lord, there's nothing more important than following You. Lord, for all the moms today, I pray a special blessing on them, Lord. And God, I just pray that You will strengthen them, and Lord, that they will, when they feel exasperated and they feel at the end of their rope, Lord, that You'll be right there with them, close by their side, giving them strength, Lord, that they need. Lord, I just pray that You will give the moms all the wisdom, Lord, that they need to teach and lead their children to follow hard after You, to have a heart that loves and trusts in You, Lord. I give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.